Grace, mercy, and peace are now yours from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today I want to talk to you, God wants to talk to you, about his call. God, in the Old Testament lesson, called Samuel. And a lot of times we just sort of skip over all the details. We think, wow, God called Samuel. He was a good dude and he should have called Samuel. But when you read the text carefully, you see that God called Samuel in some very interesting circumstances. First of all, the word of God was rare, it said. And Samuel was living in Shiloh with the priests as an adopted son. And the word was rare. The people who should be teaching the word weren't teaching the word. They weren't reading the word. The word of God was rare. Things weren't good spiritually, in other words. God had not spoken through a Moses or a Joshua for some time. They were long dead. And Israel's current leaders, Eli the high priest and his sons, were wicked. They were breaking the laws of sacrifice that God had put in place to worship him. They did whatever they wanted. They ate sacrificed meat, not how they were commanded. And when the people of Israel would say, whoa, time out, you're a priest, but you shouldn't be doing that, they would bring in their guards, their bullies, and they would take the meat by force and eat it however they wished. And if that wasn't bad, they were having relationships with other women who weren't their wives, even prostitutes. St. Paul talks about that in the epistle lesson. So things were not good, the word of God was rare, and that's when God calls Samuel. Samuel, just a boy. And the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him yet. Another check mark to the wickedness of Eli and his sons. They hadn't taught Eli the scriptures even though they were raising him. And so Samuel's a boy and he doesn't know God. He's not a very ideal person to call. He was ignorant of God and before God. And it was in this ignorance that God calls out, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel doesn't know who it is, so he goes to Eli. I didn't call you, son. Go back and lay down. Samuel, Samuel. Master Eli, did you call? No, I didn't call you. Go back and lay down. Samuel, Samuel. Finally, Eli, with the little wisdom of God he does have, says, God must be calling him. Next time you hear your name called, say, speak, Lord. Your servant is hearing. Samuel. So Samuel speaks, speak, Lord, your servant is hearing. This is just a boy. And God gives him a message that will make the ears of Israel tingle. God gives this boy, this ignorant boy, a message about how he's going to deal with the house of Eli. He's going to judge Eli and his sons, and bad things are on its way. Judgment's on its way. And God also promises he's going to raise Samuel himself, bypassing Eli and his sons, who should have been raising Samuel in the wisdom of the Lord. God himself would give wisdom to this boy Samuel. And he would grow up to be great in the Lord, so much so that this Samuel would lead all of Israel to repentance and turning back to God. And through Samuel, God would protect his nation Israel from the Philistines and the Amalekites, just as God protected Israel from the Egyptians under Moses and a host of Canaanite nations under Joshua. God did great things through his call to Samuel. Then when you turn many years later through the pages of the Bible, we get to see this Nathanael. Nathanael, God calls Nathanael. Jesus calls Nathanael. While he was under the fig tree, the Bible says. I don't think he was actually sitting under a fig tree, literally. Not that I don't believe in the literal interpretation of the Bible. But the phrase, under a fig tree, everyone would sit under his or her fig tree, is a phrase from the Old Testament. Of when people would be in peace and the Messiah would be ruling over his people. And so this phrase is pointing us to Nathanael's heart, that he was waiting, calling out to God for him to bring his Messiah when everybody would sit under their fig tree. Nathanael was a good Israelite waiting for the coming of the Messiah. And unlike Samuel, Nathanael knew the word of God. He was calling out to God to be faithful to his promises, to send one greater than Moses, greater than Samuel, greater than David, God's Messiah, his anointed. Nathanael, like many Jews, were longing for a new day when this Messiah would be raised up and lead God's people in justice and righteousness and deliver them from the tyranny of the Roman Empire, as he had delivered them from the Egyptians and the Canaanite nations in years past. Jesus called Nathanael while he was sitting under the fig tree, while he was hoping for the Messiah to come, when he was well-versed in the prophecies of the Messiah. Unlike the boy of Samuel, Nathanael knew the Word of God, but he had no clue as to what God was about to do. He was going to make all of Israel's eyes and ears tingle with what he was about to do. Through a carpenter's son from Nazareth. From Nazareth, Nathanael asked, Nazareth, can anything good come out of Nazareth? To this question, Jesus, the Messiah, tells Nathanael, I tell you the truth, Nathanael. You believe because I said I saw you sitting under the fig tree, but you will see greater things than this. You will see the heavens open and angels ascend and descend on the Son of Man. Jesus, by using this language, was hearkening back to Jacob, who saw the vision of angels ascending and descending on a ladder from heaven to earth. Jesus says, you will see angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. The Son of Man has become the ladder from heaven to earth. And little did Nathanael know that this carpenter's son would show himself to be God's Son, the Messiah, in ways unexplicable. Healing the lame, giving sight to the blind, providing food for the hungry, even raising dead people back to life again. And then the most amazing work of salvation. Little did Nathanael know that this Jesus, this Messiah, would do greater things than conquering the Romans. He would conquer sin, death, and the devil. He would tear open the heavens, and he would become the ladder, the way to heaven, for all people, giving himself up in death on a cross to die for the sins of the world. And then Nathanael, 3 days later, would see this Jesus tear open the tomb, a sealed tomb, a guarded tomb, and offer his risen body, his flesh and bones, for people to touch and see and eat with. Little did Nathanael know what God was about to do. He may have known the Word of God better than Samuel, but like Samuel, he was ignorant. Ignorance to the plans of God. Little did this Nathanael know that this Messiah was calling him to be an apostle, to follow him to the cross, to follow him to the empty tomb, so that he would then go into the world and proclaim the good news of forgiveness and salvation for all people, even to his death. And because Jesus was doing the calling, and because Jesus was doing the work through the calling, through Nathanael, Nathanael would see the heavens open again when he would breathe his last. And he would climb the Jesus ladder into salvation. And when he got the salvation, he would see heaven open. And the people whom he spoke to about Jesus, they would be ascending the ladder. Jesus into salvation with him. Truly I tell you, Nathanael, you will see greater things than this. You will see heaven open and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Little did Nathanael know how great the plan of God would be in his call to follow him. God wants you to know today that the same God who was the God of Samuel and Nathanael, the same God who called Samuel and Nathanael, has called you. Like Samuel, God has called you when you were ignorant, unknowing the Word of God. He called you before you called out to him, before you acknowledged who he was. St. Paul says it like this in his letter to Titus. God has called you at a time when you were foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved in passions and sin. To his letter to the Colossians and Ephesians, Paul says it like this: God called you when you were dead. Dead people can't call out. Dead people can't make choices. God called you when you were dead in your sin. And God called you, St. Paul says, through a washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, by a washing in the Word of God, by a circumcision done not by hands of men, priests like Eli and his sons, but a circumcision done by the high priest, Jesus Christ himself. And this washing and this circumcision done by Christ, St. Paul says, is done in baptism. Baptism. Through your baptism, God has called you to such a high calling. Just a high calling as Samuel was. Just a high calling as Nathaniel was called to. God has called you in baptism. Maybe not to be a prophet. Maybe not to be an apostle. Maybe or maybe not to be a pastor. Who knows? But he has called you. He's called you to be his son, his daughter. And that's where it starts first. In baptism, God the Father calls out to you and says, "You are my son. You are my daughter," he calls out. Just as he called out to Jesus at his baptism and said, "This is my beloved son," that's what he says when you were baptized. God the Father has marked you. You're marked by his blood. You're marked and washed by the blood of Jesus and his righteousness. And there is no higher calling than to be called a son or a daughter of God. And your call to be a son or a daughter of God has come at a very important time in world history, when reverence to the Word of God is rare, when people in the world are waiting for God to do something with all the mess and the brokenness. But they're not calling out on the name of Jesus. They're not looking for the Messiah to be their Savior. There are 7 billion, over 7 billion people in the world. When Jesus lived, there were only about 300 million. But the population of the United States, today there's 7 billion people in the world, of which 5 billion worship the moon and the stars, or mythological gods like Brahma and Vishnu, or gods of war and blood like Allah, or gods of philosophy like Buddha and Confucius, or no god at all. People worship themselves, their stomachs, their pocketbooks, their own glory. And these 5 billion people have no promise, no knowledge of a God who forgives, a God who raises the dead to eternal life. Their gods and their philosophies don't promise such good news. And beyond the 5 billion who have no clue about Jesus, it's becoming increasingly harder to become a Christian or to be a Christian in this world. We live at a time where those who call themselves religious enter Christian villages like in Nigeria and kill 2,000 plus people and burn their village to the ground because of the name of Jesus. And while we in America don't face that type of threat yet, we live at a time where we are and will continually be made fun of and ridiculed, made to feel ignorant by evolutionists and skeptics, secularists. It's a growing force in our country, and they will do everything they can to take away your faith in some Jesus, Messiah, for believing in the stupidity of a God, let alone a God who created all of this in 6 24-hour days. And let alone a God who loves by dying and rising. A God who loves only through his plan to forgive and to make all things new. And of the 2 billion people in the world who call themselves Christians, at least half do not practice their faith. Half do not attend worship or read their Bibles. Half, 1 billion of the 2 billion, have backslided into a state of ignorance. Well, they don't even know who Jesus is or what he's done for them. They just attend perhaps a Christmas or an Easter service or a Mother's Day service because they know they should. And it's into this world, into this world where the 5 billion don't have a clue and that half the 1 billion don't have a clue. Into this world, God's called you to be His son, to be His daughter. A very high calling. The highest calling. To witness to Jesus and His love, just like Samuel and Nathaniel. And so the big question is, how are you going to do this? The answer is the same way that Samuel, an ignorant boy, did it. And Nathaniel, who had no clue what God was really doing, did it. God has sent His Spirit of His Son, St. Paul says, into our hearts. And this Spirit cries out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer slaves, you are a son, you are a daughter of God. God has sent forth His Spirit into our hearts. You may not remember feeling that Spirit, you may not experience that Spirit, but He has sent the same Spirit. And He's called you and placed upon you the same power and might that He gave to Samuel and Nathaniel. He's put His Holy Spirit into you. And that's an amazing thing. Because when He puts His Holy Spirit into you, God does amazing things through simple people. You're called a witness. You're called to be a son or a daughter of God begins in your home. Where you get to teach. You don't have to. You get to teach your children about Jesus. They learn first and foremost at home. You get to read to them in your freedom, the Bible. You get to read to them about Samuel and Nathaniel with your mouth. You get to teach them to pray, Abba, Father in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You get to bring them to church without any fear of your life. You get to bring them to hear about the greatest story, which is a true story, the story about Jesus and what He did for them. You get to bring them so they can hear and sing to Jesus. And there's no greater privilege in the world than that. You get to love your wife, your husband, your kids, and your parents with a love that is not found in the world, but only in Jesus. You get to forgive them when they don't deserve it. You get to show acts of kindness to them when it's not earned. No other person in the world can do that. But you get to because you're a son and a daughter of God. And you're called to witness to this Jesus as the true Messiah. It extends beyond these walls and beyond the walls of your home. Into your neighborhoods, your workplaces, your schools, where you continue to be a son of God, a daughter of God, showing people love that's not earned, that's not deserved, showing people Jesus, telling people that Jesus has forgiven their sins. They don't have to do anything to earn it. And that Jesus is going to raise their bodies from the ground. So when you know somebody's sick, somebody dying, you can give them true comfort. You can give them Jesus. When you find somebody who's troubled by their sins, you can give somebody real freedom and passion and love. You can give them Jesus. And I tell you the truth. Because God has called you to be His son or daughter, you will see great things. You will see the heavens open. And you yourself will ascend upon the Son of Man into heaven. And you will see your kids and your spouse and your parents, your friends and your co-workers, and everyone that you tell about Jesus and who believes in Him, you will see ascend upon the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, into heaven for eternity. There's no greater calling than that. In Jesus' name, amen.